You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 54, we are talking NHL 94 for the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but frankly, for the Sega Genesis, because it is the significantly better version, as much as that pains me to admit as a Nintendo kid. You guys, NHL 94, it's like one of the most iconic sports games of all time. Game's 25 years old, and it's still fucking incredible. So this should be a fun episode, I think, I hope. A little hockey-centric, because we did ice hockey a few weeks ago, and now NHL 94, but you know what? I'm Canadian, and I could only fight against my Canadian heritage for so long before we started dipping into the hockey world. So that's what we're talking about this week. Before that, you know, I got to ramble for a few minutes. Otherwise, the episode isn't long enough. And frankly, I have to stroke my own ego and ramble a bit. We're on Twitter and Instagram. I don't plug that every week. I need to try to remember to do that. If you're on those platforms, please follow me. It's at MemberTheGame, just like Remember without an RE at the front. Twitter and Instagram. And we're on Facebook. Just search for Remember the Game on Facebook. And also YouTube.com/RememberTheGame. And our YouTube channel features game reviews, episodes of the show, Let's Plays. It's all kinds of cool stuff. So, I mean, I try to subscribe back and follow back to everybody on there. On Instagram, I may have missed a few follow backs because I try to avoid following, like, if somebody follows me and they've got, like, 50,000 followers and they're following 500 people, then I'm not going to follow you because you're probably just spamming me trying to get my follow. And my follows are valuable, even though I never go on Instagram and like anything because I just never go on Instagram. But please follow me. I'll follow back, show some love. I'll show you some love. I like to message and all that kind of stuff and blah, 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 blah. You guys know how that works. And also, as I plugged off the top, we are on Patreon. Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. Our first ever Patreon exclusive episode went live. By the time you're hearing this, it'll have been a couple of days ago. But yesterday, on Monday, July 8th, it was about Cuphead, all about the phenomenal indie that is Cuphead. I've gotten some really good feedback on it, and it's not too late to sign up. $2 a month is all it's going to take. You're going to get bonus episodes, shout out on the show, and you're going to get entered into our giveaway. So please consider checking that out. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. Oh, yeah, and we're giving away a Sega Genesis Classic in September, and we're going to be doing the draw for that in the middle of August. So the deadline to get in on that is July 31st. So if you would like to be entered in the draw to win a Sega Genesis Classic, again, $2. All it's going to take to get entered in the draw, please go to our Patreon and sign up, all right? I'm going to stop plugging it so much. Well, no, I'm probably not, but I should stop plugging it so much. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a good review on stuff, like, I mean, preferably on, like, iTunes and stuff, or even, like, sometimes people just send them to me, like, privately, and that's really cool, too. I always get a kick out of reading them. Makes me feel good. And I got one I want to read from, dude, I'm not even going to attempt to fuck up your last name for like the 12th time, but Toddy, a dude down in old Australia, sent me a message. Man, it was nice waking up to an early week podcast, haha, which was the Patreon one earlier this week. Dude, where I'm from in Australia, coastal town, we have a saying for rad dudes like yourself. This is a full compliment, by the way. Sickest cunts. You're a sick cunt, ha ha ha. It's the highest compliment you can receive. And that might be the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. Being a stand-up comic, I get heckled sometimes, and I've been called the C word. I don't even want to say it too many more times, because in Canada, that is not a compliment at all. I don't think it is anywhere else. Anyway, and I know there's some children listening to this, so don't say that word unless you're in Australia. Then apparently you can say it as much as you want. But dude, that's really cool. I got such a kick at it. I put it on my personal Facebook, and all my friends were laughing. We're like, we've been telling you that forever, and ha ha ha. So, Toddy, thanks, man. Thanks for the support. He's a Patreoner. He's just a loyal listener to the show. He's messaged me a few times. Seems like a pretty rad guy. So thank you so much, dude, for the kind, apparently kind words. That's very nice. I am a sick cunt. I saw a huge spike in downloads this weekend, like over the last 3 or 4 days, and I have no idea where the fuck it came from, like several hundred downloads over the last few days, and I have to assume what it is a couple of new listeners have discovered the show, and this seems to happen every once in a while. A new listener will discover the show, and then they'll go back through the archives, because we're at 50, I can't believe we're at 54 episodes, that's crazy, but they'll go back through the last, you know, 50 plus episodes and look for... I can see the downloads. I see that, you know, the Zelda level or episodes and stuff like that get more downloads. But people go back and cherry pick and look for other ones to listen to. And that's awesome. So if you're listening to this and you're new to the show and you just found us here, give or take around the 4th of July weekend, well, thanks for hopping on board and thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. And please hang around. The show is of the average to subpar quality that you've come to expect from listening to all those old episodes. But that's pretty neat. I'm still working on Let's Plays. They've been going up on the YouTube channel. This will be the first couple of days that I won't have posted an episode since I started them. And it's a really big learning experience to record them and edit them. I've had some ups and downs. I accidentally uploaded a few without my commentary in them the other day, but I fixed that. They're such a fucking time sink. And I just don't have time to do them, and I they only get a dozen views each. So I mean, hey, like, I know some of you guys listen to or watch them, and thank you so much, and I am going to keep doing them, but I don't know if I can keep up with every day, especially with my schedule being on the road as a comic and stuff. The podcasts I can kind of do on the road, but the Let's Play, I'm not bringing all my shit. And then, you know, we share, like, just a little bit inside, if you're a comedian, a lot of comedy clubs will put you up not in a hotel room but in a condo. Like, they'll own an apartment or a small house, and you'll share it with the other comics. And the last thing those other comics want to hear is at 8 in the morning after a late night is me sitting in my room yelling at my TV because I'm dying in Super Mario Brothers. So Let's Plays may suffer for a little while, but I'm going to keep plugging away at them. And I'm also working on a Ninja Turtle review for the NES. I don't know if I've actually said what game it is. I just kept teasing it, but it's going to be another review. We already did a Mario Kart one that seemed pretty well received. I'm working on the Ninja Turtles one. Do you guys have any idea how fucking hard it is to review a game that you can't finish? And not only can I not finish it, but I can't even get close. And I've been playing that game for 25 years, and I cannot beat that game. And I watched a video of someone beating it yesterday, and not only did he beat it, but nobody died. He didn't lose a single turtle. I think he lost like 5 squares of health in the whole game. And half of me was blown away, and the other half of me was angry at him because he made it look so fucking easy. And that game is not easy. So that's coming. I'm hoping to get that up before I leave for Ontario in a couple weeks. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm trying. So, What else can I mention here on my list? I always keep like a little list of stuff I want to talk about. I mentioned it last week when I recorded on July 2nd that Nintendo hadn't announced their online games, the NES games they put online for July yet. Well, now it's July 9th, and as of about 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time, they still haven't announced it. And that's weird because usually the NES games for the month come out around the 12th-ish, you know, and now we're at the 9th and we still haven't heard anything. And so I don't know what the fuck's going on with Nintendo. Sometimes it feels like they've just forgotten about it. And then a couple of days before the games are due, they're like, oh yeah, shit. And then they release, they release like a whole bunch of crappy games. Quit fucking around, Nintendo. Like, it's, everybody shits on Nintendo Online. And admittedly, I don't shit on it as hard as others because I don't think it's that bad. Like, it's way cheaper than PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live. And you get a ton of old NES games that you can play online, and you get to play your other games online. There's no voice chat or anything. Their friend system sucks, but you get what you pay for, right? Having said that, I always look forward to seeing what NES games are coming out. They can't have a lot left. Like, Super Nintendo games are coming. I have no doubt in my mind Super Nintendo games are coming in the next couple of months to the Nintendo Switch Online, because they're going to run out of Nintendo games. I mean, when you look at all the compilation packages, there's nothing left for them to put on there. So just fucking give us one Super Nintendo game a month. That's all I want. For $25 a year, Canadian, give me one Super Nintendo game a month that I can play online, and I would be happy. Frankly, like, they have Tetris 99, which is like the battle mode, the fucking, what are the names of the battle royale Tetris game? And I would pay $25 a year just to play that because it's free with your online subscription. I fucking adore that game because Tetris is the best game ever. But Nintendo, just every week I rant about this, and every week it drives me crazy that they're sitting on the most valuable backlog of games in the history of the business, and they do nothing with it all the time. And it's just so infuriating. Speaking of old games, it's recently come out that the new Pokemon game that's coming out in November, Pokemon Sword and Shield, is not going to be compatible with Pokemon Bank, I think is what it is. And like, so you're not going to be able to bring all your old Pokemon in, and not all the Pokemon are going to meet up. There's got to be like 3,000 Pokemon now. It's like 800, I think, or something. But people are kind of freaking out about that a little bit. And eventually that was going to happen. You know, like, eventually there was going to hit a point where they had to have been like, yo, we can't possibly put all these Pokemon in. And the thing is people are freaking out and saying, how could you not put all these Pokemon in? But you got to remember, if you open it up for people to bring Pokemon they've been raising for years and years into this game, then, like, they have moves that maybe they could learn now and all this kind of stuff. There's tons of just different, like, it's infinite possibilities of Pokemon you'd have to load into this game. So I get it. I'm okay with it. Like, if you want to play with your old Pokemon, play an old Pokemon game. Consider this like a new, at least the way I'm looking at Sword and Shield, is it's the first like home console Pokemon game, like mainstream mainline Pokemon game. And I look at it like they're kind of starting over, because at some point they have to. It's like a new generation of the Pokemon games. As long as Magikarp and Bulbasaur make the cut, I'm happy. And if they don't, like, I'm still going to buy it and still be happy anyway. I don't care. But I've been jonesing to play a little bit of Pokemon lately. I'm playing too many fucking games right now as it is, but I have been kind of looking for a Pokemon fix. I'm pretty excited for Sword Shield. Like, I'm definitely, it actually comes out like right before my birthday in the fall. So I'm definitely going to be picking one of them up and putting a lot of time into it. And in the meantime, like, but think, I have a Game Boy Advance that my buddy Chris got me for my birthday last year. And I've been thinking about picking up a Pokemon game for that. But I have way too much to play already, like I said. In addition to all the shit I've been playing, I have to give a shout out to Chris, one of the listeners of the show. He goes by Taco Shirt Chris. I don't know the origin of that nickname, but I like it. He reached out to me last week, right after I finished recording last week's episode, and said he was going through some stuff at his place, and he found like a mini CD binder full of GameCube games. And he's like, I don't even have a GameCube anymore. He's like, you can have these. And I offered to buy them, and I insisted. I tried so hard to get him to let me buy them, and he would not let me buy them. He just said he enjoys the show, and he's like, I want to go to a good home, to somebody that'll play them. So I picked them up the other day, and just listen, like, so I got these for free. And Chris, dude, thank you so much. This is so generous. I'm just flipping through this little binder of games, and this didn't come with all the cases and manuals, which I know to some collectors is like sacrilege. But I mean, well, not when they're free, but I don't care about the cases and the manuals. I would rather like have them take up the least amount of room possible. And so, like, I'm literally holding in my hand like one of those mini like velvet CD binders that's like the size of a hockey puck. It says Nintendo GameCube on the front, and it's full of GameCube games. And so I got, like, just quickly here, like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, Simpsons Hit and Run, Zelda The Wind Waker, Tony Hawk's Underground 2, Zelda Four Sword Adventure, Super Mario Sunshine, which is the one I've really been looking for, The Sims 2, 1080 Avalanche, GoldenEye 007, and that's just a few of the games that are in there. Chris, thank you. And you gave me a ton of stickers too. I put a few more on my laptop here, just for being a fan of the show. And like, that's so incredibly generous and cool. So Chris, thank you so much, man. That's rad. I am looking forward to jumping into Mario Sunshine. I'm just looking into getting the parts I need to hook my GameCube up to my capture card first so that I can record a Let's Play of Mario Sunshine instead of just playing through it on my own. That's definitely one I want to do a Let's Play of. So what am I playing over the last week? You didn't ask? Well, then I'd be happy to tell you. Wargroove on my Switch, the tactical strategy game. It's hella fun, but it is so fucking hard. And I'm not tapping out on it, but like, I'm stuck in the fourth world right now, or fourth area or whatever. And like, you play 45 minutes to an hour on a map just to lose and have to start all over again. And when I only have limited amount of time to play, it can be very frustrating to basically just tread water for 45 minutes and not accomplish anything. So it's a fun game, but it's like, it's one that I'll play, but you need to have something else to go with it. You couldn't just play it. Like, if once I lose a map, I'm like, I got to walk away and go play something else, or I'll smash my Switch. So it's crazy fun, but insanely hard. Apparently you can turn down all the difficulty with the sliders and stuff to make it more tolerable, but that's not how I be. I want to beat it on the up and up. So Wargroove, still playing with Tetris 99 because it's the best. I dipped back into Octopath Traveler on my Switch. It's a phenomenal RPG. You guys probably know what it is. That will be one of the Patreon episodes this summer. We're going to be talking probably next month. We're going to be going into Octopath Traveler, me and Mark McHugh. And we just recorded the podcast. And when we were done, it had me jonesing to go back and play it. I'm about 50 hours in. I haven't finished it. I played a good 50 hours of it and then just kind of tapped out because other things were coming up. And now I've kind of dipped my toe back into the water and forgot just how much fun it is. I also forgot how frustrating it could be to jump into an old save file on like a giant game, like a Octopath, Skyrim. And then you're trying to figure out where the fuck you left off when you haven't played it in months. And that's like, I probably spent two afternoons just trying to figure out what the fuck I was doing, excuse me, in Octopath. But it's pretty rad. I've been playing that again. Playing a little bit of Metal Gear Solid on my PlayStation 1 Classic, my PlayStation Classic, trying to turn that into a Let's Play. And I've dived back into Paper Mario Thousand Year Door on the GameCube, which may or may not be research for an upcoming episode of the show, hint, hint. And I fucking love that game. I forgot how much fun it is. So playing all of that stuff and still trying to grind through Ninja Turtles on my NES to try to do a review of it. And as I've mentioned 100 times, I'm going on the road in a few weeks. And so I just, that's why I take my Switch with me. That's why the Switch is my favorite system. And Nintendo's been selling these online vouchers where you can save, you know, 20 or 30 bucks if you download a couple of full price games. You get two vouchers for a little bit of a discount. And so I did buy a couple last night. One is 100% earmarked for Fire Emblem Three Houses. That comes out at the end of July. Can't wait for that game. And the other one is probably going to go to Ultimate Alliance 3. I'm just waiting to see the reviews before I pull the trigger on that. And if by some chance the reviews are bad, then I might save it for the Link's Awakening remake in September, but pretty confident I'm getting Ultimate Alliance 3. I can't imagine it's going to be bad. Ultimate, like, you don't have to change a fucking thing with Ultimate Alliance, you guys. We haven't had one of those games forever. Just keep it more of the same. And if you guys like Ultimate Alliance, again, hint, hint, maybe you want to listen to the show next week. Hint, hint. Okay, what are we at here? 16 minutes. Holy fuck, I need to shorten these goddamn things. Okay, that's enough, guys. We're going to get to the game we're talking about this week. And as I mentioned off the top, as you heard from the music, as you've seen from the title and the image, this week, we're talking NHL 94 for the Sega Genesis / Super Nintendo and all that good stuff. Primarily, we're focusing on the Sega Genesis version because that's the one everybody loves so much. It's still this game is 25 years old, and it is still considered one of the greatest sports games of all time. I think some would argue it's still the greatest hockey game ever made. Admittedly, I did not play it a lot as a kid. I had NHL Stanley Cup for the Super Nintendo, which if you ever played, you know that it sucked. The first NHL EA game I really got into was like 96, I think, 96, 97 in there. But I have gone back and played 94. We all know like that blue ice and the music and just, it's phenomenal. It handles great. It plays, it's so good. Like, I'm so excited to talk about this game. And it's cool because it's nice to remember a time when EA wasn't the evil empire of video games. This was when they were just like kind of nice and just making fun video games. And it's funny that a game with that much money and that many resources arguably hasn't matched as the fun level of NHL 94 in all these years. I mean, the games have become so simulation based and stuff. You'll hear more about that when we get into the show. I'm going to cue the music. It is the Sega Genesis music because, god damn it, Sega Genesis did it better than Nintendo did. Newcomer to the show this week is my buddy Brad, a very, very good friend of mine. We've been talking about doing this forever. Really excited for this episode, you guys. NHL 94 released in North America in October of 1993. So it'll be 26 years old this fall. Kick back, relax. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. Brad and I are talking NHL 94. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. All right, a little bit of a disclaimer to start this episode off. I'll probably have mentioned it again in the intro as well. We are talking NHL 94 today, one of the most iconic sports games of all time, but we're probably going to wander into NHL 95, 96, 90, in the mid-90 NHL games. I am not doing a fucking episode of this show for NHL 95, 96, 97. That's not fucking happening. So we're probably going to do a little bit of wandering. We're going to start to try to stay on focus on NHL 94. We'll see where it goes. My guest this week, returning to the show, or maybe it's his first time because I don't know if, which episode is going up first. I don't plan that far ahead. Very good friend of mine, Mr. Brad Warren. How are you, buddy?
Good, pal. How are you?
Great. NHL 94.
Yes.
Pretty iconic video game, man.
It is the game.
Now, you had told me before, you were a fucking Sega freak.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Now, it's funny, because I'm a loyal, diehard Nintendo guy.
See, but you know deep down which game was way better.
I'm fully aware. Like, when it comes to sports games as a whole, the Sega kicked the Nintendo's ass. And NHL 94 just looks better on the Sega. It just is better.
I don't know the backstory of it. I would love to read there doesn't seem to be a backstory of why these games were so different, because it's not like the systems were that far apart.
Well, I think that the Sega had some stuff under the hood that Nintendo couldn't keep up with. And just reading here, I didn't realize this. It's two different developers.
What?
Like the SNES version was developed by EA Canada, and then High Score Productions developed the Genesis and Sega CD version.
Really?
So that probably has something to do with it too.
The Sega CD, what a piece of
now,
shit.
Now, admittedly, I didn't play a ton of NHL 94, period. Like, NHL 96 was the first one that I really got into.
Well, see, that's the one you and I were just discussing earlier.
Yeah.
That's where it really changed.
Yeah,
like... 96 is, like, that's when they added the season mode and transactions and trades. And,
well, because I read about that a little bit this morning, and I guess, like, in 95, they did add a season mode. And trading players.
Okay.
Like, but that, and again, so like NHL 95 took a ton of shit from people because everyone was like, well, NHL 94 was perfect. Like, yes. With the exception, and we'll get more into it, but like with the exception of the lack of depth when it comes to like a career mode,
yeah,
or
modes
season
and
mode
everything
or anything
like that. Yeah, yeah.
It basically had like exhibition. I think you could play a best of seven,
yeah,
a shootout. That was about it, right? Yeah. But it was all about playing with your buddies, and yes. So that's really all that mattered,
right?
Whereas obviously, and I mean, fuck, if you look at the NHL, like I don't, do you play? Have you played NHL 19? Like I haven't played an NHL game in a few years.
You know my backstory with us working together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This was the first year I bought it in like 4 years, and I was impressed. It's still shit in so many ways. It hasn't changed the game engine in probably almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
so they're. It's okay.
It's funny, but yeah, they're so like they're so fucking deep now. Like when I, because again, I think probably 16 or 17 was the last one I played.
Right.
And even then, like you've got a whole minor system to manage. You've got your salary cap, the drafts, because there's Dynasty mode, which is my go-to. I love Dynasty.
I'm a dork. I love that stuff.
Right. Yeah. But like, and that's like NHL 94, like to not even have a season mode is like, I mean, it's a little weird, but right. I guess, but the gameplay, like here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's Adam's fucking soapbox. Here's the problem. NHL 94 was a fucking blast to play. Yes. I didn't play it a ton as a kid, but I have played it a lot since. I know this game. That I think of that fucking iconic blue ice,
yep,
with those fucking pixelated stars, yep, under the players. And like the way they skated even. It almost was like it felt like you were on ice. Like they, right, started out kind of slow and then, yep, got moving and then they were just flying and the puck was huge, but it felt like a puck and
the puck looked like you're playing tabletop hockey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was rad. And so then, like, I think almost anybody would have been like, well, the next logical step is give us a season mode. Let us fucking, you know, because you could edit your lines in this game and stuff,
yeah,
but you couldn't trade players or sign free agents or anything. No. And so the next logical step was like, well, let us edit or let us run it through a season. And then when they gave us a season, they changed the very gameplay that made it so cool in the first place, which is so fucking stupid.
Typical EA.
It is typical EA. Every time they get something right, they fuck something else up.
They like when you think about it, 94, again, doing a little bit of research, I can't remember how to do it, but it was the first time you had one-timers.
You had one-timers, and everybody knew the one-timer was the fucking way to go.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're firing rockets, you're done.
Like, basically what they did with 94 was really perfected like an arcade-y hockey game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, just even watching, like, clips of it, getting ready for this show, you know what it looks like to me? Is it's like, this is like the next generation of Blades of Steel and ice hockey.
Yeah.
Because those games were just fun, basic hockey games. And this just looks like that taken to like a 12.
It's on steroids.
It looks nice.
And it
like the jerseys look good.
It plays well.
Yeah. It plays really well.
Well, it's funny because, again, obviously both you and I discussed about doing research. It's been rated the greatest sports game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you think about that, is mind-blowing because it's hockey. Because, again, we are in Canada, obviously.
Yeah.
The States didn't give a fuck about it, but you know what? It sold like crazy.
Sold so good because it was just fun to play.
These EA games, when EA was at the top of its game, making these hockey games, they were in movies, Swingers, if you've ever seen it. It's a great scene. I'm going to make Gretzky bleed, and he did. But just the small things. But this game was so well played because, again, it was multiplayer. And it just made life so much fun.
I'm reading right now. This is off Wikipedia. But in the years following its release, NHL 94 has grown a cult following among sports fans. Critically, the game has come to be known as one of the greatest sports games of all time, with some referring to it as the finest game ever made within the sports genre. The title is included at number 47 on IGN's top 100 games of all time and was named the all-time greatest sports video game by Boston.com. It was ranked second by ESPN on the all-time sports video game ranking. Bleacher Report also has it listed as the second best hockey video game ever made behind NHL 10. Like, it's got such a legacy. And it's
right.
So funny because, like, okay, so did you ever play NHL Stanley Cup? On the Super Nintendo? I know
yes.
a lot of people that did.
Is it that's that piece of shit where there is, like, the black crowd
yeah.
and you...
camera's always
like
right 3D. Behind you.
Oh, fuck.
Now, that's what I owned when this game was out. Because this game came out right around the same time as NHL Stanley Cup. I owned NHL Stanley Cup.
Well, hold on. I know I've met your parents, and I know why they bought you that, because they don't like you.
Well, so, but now here's the thing, because you're right. Obviously, the gameplay and the graphics and shit
horrible.
Can't even come within a fucking
that's,
sneeze. It didn't have the players' names. It just had their numbers.
That shit game was the one where you fire it from, like, your own end, right?
When no, it goes at over the blue goal. Line. The blue line. If you did the dump, the blue line, it would go over the goalie and into the net. Because me and my friends would play it, and the rule was you weren't allowed to do that shot.
And you would. But you would.
Of course we would.
Yeah.
But now, having said that, it had a season mode. It had a fucking battery-saved season mode where it kept track of all the stats. You couldn't make trades, but it had all your stats, the standings. It had a season mode.
See, you and I have discussed this before, and I may come off as a dork, but I have recently, over the years, realized that I wasn't the only one where I had a little Duotang in the early games of EA Sports Hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'd write down every player's
name. Me too.
Because it would only be numbers in the early renditions of hockey. It was only numbers, just like that Stanley Cup pile of shit game you owned.
Yeah.
But I used to goals, assists. I'd pause the game. I would make sure I got all the stats down and everything. And then playoffs, I would have the stats.
I would play Stanley Cup that kept track of that shit, and I would still keep track of it in a book. Like, I love stats. Like, I love stats.
And you know what? It was funny because even when the teams, the Oilers wouldn't make the playoffs. Actually, at that time, they would. I would do the Stanley Cup playoffs too. I would go through.
And that's something you could do on NHL 94 because you could do the best of seven thing.
Yeah.
If you wrote down the tree, you could do the standing or the playoffs, right?
Right. But you're right though, that it was lacking modes.
Right. But which honestly, like, I can look by if you're like, they didn't obviously come out and say it. And obviously this is well before any time of fucking DLC or garbage like that.
Yes.
But they were like, yo, like, this year we're going to get the engine. We're going to nail this fucking engine. And they did. I read that they took fighting out. I don't remember that, but there's no fighting in this game.
Really? In 94, and it's still rated
because,
that high?
Because people, it's something to do with the league didn't want the fighting in it or something like that, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, like, and I made a note specifically to write about this, like, I'm a pretty big hockey fan.
Yeah.
I don't care about fighting in hockey. I don't care about fighting in hockey video games.
Right.
I'm not one of those, like, take it out. Like, it's sure, it's fun to watch. I could give a fuck. The fights in NHL games, dude, after about three fights, it gets boring.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
And like, it was so easy to get into fights in certain versions of the game that it would just be such a pain in the ass.
Right.
To me, it's like commentary. If you took it out, I don't give a shit.
So take the stupid fights out. Just let me play a fun game. And that's all they did with this. And it's fucking rad. Like, I have, like, if you're listening to this and you played NHL 94, like, who doesn't have the vivid memory of that fucking, that, just again, that blue ice with the fucking star and you're flying up the ice and you're fucking Winnipeg with fucking Timu Solani.
Yep.
And it, like, or how can you not bring up JR?
JR is
the greatest video game athlete of all time.
And I don't know what the story is behind that, but
I don't either.
They clearly made him indestructible.
Yeah, dude. I know for a fact that, like, I've read tons of articles about how, like, you know, because, like, this game used to be big for, like, dorm tournaments and shit like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them had rules where you couldn't play as the Blackhawks.
Really?
Yeah. There was, like, a rule. You couldn't play as Chicago because fucking they were stacked and JR was fucking gross.
JR was like...
And I don't know why you'd want to play as anyone other than the defending Stanley Cup champions in the game anyways, but that's fucking neither here nor there. As Montreal Canadiens, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Or wait, are they?
No,
no, they are, because this game came out in October 93 and they would have won the Cup the summer of 93. So
right.
They are the
94
champions.
Rangers. Yes, the Rangers.
Stupid
yes.
Rangers. Okay, another thing that this game has that I fucking love, and I forgot all about it till I was doing the homework, is that some of the music in it, like the horn, like they have, like,
yes,
that, like, classic, like,
bonanza.
Organ,
yes.
And they have the brass bonanza,
yes, yes,
which I'm gonna write down right now so I don't forget to put it in.
That's gonna be the theme.
It's gonna go in probably at the end of the podcast,
because you're gonna have to I believe they have one for Montreal too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, there was a few different songs. There was, like, the Saints Go Marching In and stuff like that. But the Brass Bonanza is fucking...
If you're going to do it, you're going to have your Montreal opening.
No, I'm not. No, I'm going to stick... No, because that, like, none of them can touch the Brass Bonanza. So, like, when I get to the end of this discussion, you guys, and the music kicks in to take us into the outro, it is going to be the Brass Bonanza, which is the song, the Hartford Whalers, like, go-to track. God, I miss the Hartford Whalers.
Who doesn't?
And it's one of the greatest, like, songs in the history of sports.
It's greatest that, jersey, probably.
Dude.
Top five jerseys.
And that's
of all
another
time.
Thing I love about this game. And I just love about old sports games, period. But, like, I really love about this game is, like, just that fucking, like, it has the old Winnipeg Jets. It's got the Hartford Whalers.
It's got the rosters, man.
The Mighty Ducks. It's got
guys
the rosters.
It's got the guys we, like, I remember being the Oilers of that 94 team. They were crap.
Yeah, they were.
But you were sitting there and you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to play the 82 game schedule. And this was the thing too. Going back to the whole schedule thing. I played the Oilers schedule for that next season. Every game,
just like exhibition mode.
Just in exhibition mode. I'm like, okay, they're playing Calgary. I'm playing Calgary. And I would do it that day or soon, as close as possible.
Right.
By getting, and how would I get the schedule? From the Edmonton Sun. I would have to use the newspaper because we didn't have,
internet back then.
Exactly.
Like just looking at images of it on my computer right now, this game looks good to this day. Like I know that there's a couple of, I don't remember which NHL it was, but maybe it was probably 14 because that's a 20-year anniversary. But there were a couple of NHL games that had like NHL 94 in them. Or they had like an NHL 94 mode.
Yeah.
Because like, I'll tell you, like my pal Dave isn't like a diehard gamer, but like we used to play a lot of poker together, a bunch of us. And like, usually what happened is when you got eliminated in poker, the first couple people would sit down and they start playing NHL.
Right.
And some guys like, cause the games today have become so simulation-y where the right joystick is literally your stick with stick handling and shooting and shit. And some people don't want to do that. They're new to games or they don't play a lot of games. And I love that they've put NHL, literally it's NHL 94 mode in these games.
Where you can play as the current rosters.
Yeah. Yeah. But you basically just play it like NHL 94. Yes. And like, to me, if that doesn't speak to the legacy of a video game, then what does? That like you have put, like they have to have invested millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into developing these hardcore simulation-y games, but they're like, but we have to put this fucking ancient version of the game in there.
Yes.
Because that's what some people just prefer.
Yes. Well, and the funny thing is, even to this day, I don't know who uses it, but you can switch your controllers to be the classic controllers.
Right. Which is
insane to me.
Well, it is, but like,
once you start playing,
but at the same time, it's,
if you're not playing, if you don't play it, you're right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
If X is shoot again, I don't know if I can do it.
Oh, it'd be weird. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be weird. Like, how do you, anyways, yeah, no, I agree with you.
There's not a lot of reason to go back and play old sports games.
No.
You know, I mean, especially, I mean, I don't know when it started. I mean, even these, because like, I mean, like I said earlier, 96 is the one I first remember playing, NHL 96. And then I really remember playing NHL 97.
Yeah.
It was the one that had Van Beesbrook on the front.
Yeah.
Which had to have been 97.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
they
went to the finals in 96.
Rats.
And I remember literally just renting it over and over and over again from the video store near my house so that I wouldn't lose my season, and bringing it home and just keep playing my season because it was so much fun.
See, there's so many vivid memories of these games, not just saying 94 or whatever. I remember we rented a Sega Genesis. We didn't own it. Had probably about a 32-inch tube TV.
Yeah.
We brought it downstairs. It weighed 400,000 pounds. And we rented this Genesis, and it came in a black plastic, hard plastic box.
Those old cases?
Yes. Yeah. And clicked it open. The two games we got was the very first NHLPA by EA Sports.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man.
Which was like NHL 93.
Yes.
They just didn't call it 93.
And then Spider-Man. Spider-Man was fucking garbage. I know you're a huge Spider-Man fan, but that first original Genesis game is crap. But again, the memories of firing up hockey and the blue ice and just skating. And like you said, your guy, when you'd come around the net, and he'd be like slow, but again, it was like hockey.
Yeah.
He'd kick his legs and he'd start getting faster and faster. And then
Which was awesome.
When you pass it to Gretzky, it felt like, I don't know if it was, but I think it was our eyes and what we were doing. He looked like he moved smoother than everybody else.
Right.
The guys that were better played better.
Right.
Which is crazy when you think about it because of the graphics and everything and the actual meat and potatoes of that game. How they did that was insane.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Yeah, yeah. And you know what's, like, to me, one of the what's funny is, like, what I was going to, I kind of got lost on a rant about it, but, like, there's not a lot of reason to go back and play old sports games. Like, if you're sitting here with NHL 19 right now, or Madden 19, or fuck it, whatever, FIFA, it doesn't matter. Unless there was something in, like, NHL 14 that you just really adored, or you're just too cheap to buy the new version every year,
yeah,
there's not a lot of reason to go back and play those games, no, right? Whereas, like, dude, when you go back, and I don't even just mean NHL 94, but, like, NHL 94, Tecmo Bowl, NBA mm-hmm. Jam, like, these fucking old, like, the bases loaded games on the NES, like, these old sports games that don't have deep season mode. I know sometimes bases loaded, it doesn't matter. But, like, you go to these old games that don't have these super deep modes or anything like that. All they had to get you to play them was fun gameplay. And there's right. something to be said for that when you won't go back and play NHL 15, which is an absolutely remarkable, yeah, and I'm just pulling a number out of my
ass. It looked good. It looked
you know what
good.
I mean? But it's like, this is, yeah, this is like a high-tech, incredible game. Like, no, I want to go back and play fucking NHL 94 or Tecmo Bowl.
To that, yeah, to that argument, the version that had 94 in it, I played 94 for 5 minutes. I thought it was great,
right?
And then I was done.
Sure.
But and it would still look, that. Yeah, it's one of those games where I think it. You're right, though. It's memories.
Right. It's the same.
It's all about the vivid memories.
It's the same as ice hockey. Like, we just released an episode about ice hockey on the podcast here. By the time this goes up, I don't know. But it's
right.
There's an episode about ice hockey in the archives, and ice hockey is available on the Nintendo Switch now as the NES Online.
Right. And which I have as well.
It's fun. Like, my buddy Chris and I have played it against each other online a few times, but, like, outside of playing it multiplayer, there's nothing there.
No, when you look back at a lot of those old games that they offer, unless it's a one player like Ghosts and Goblins and games right. like that, where you're immersed in that trying to finish it.
Right.
But when you get to those sports games,
yeah,
you're like, the one player mode is not.
There's nothing there, right?
No,
but like
no.
to sit down, you could, like, you and I could sit down right now and fire up NHL 94 and have a great time.
Yes,
or Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah,
or any of
kill
those
ourselves
old
laughing
school games.
And go,
you know?
I hope. And the best part about that is, again, the nostalgia, and then going, holy shit, I forgot that you could do that.
Right.
Like the cheap goals, everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's a question for you.
What?
In that era, did you try not to do the cheat goals?
No. I remember specifically, like, in NHL 96 or 97, I remember winning the Cup with the Habs,
yeah,
like, renting it over and over and over again, and, like, and winning, like putting up, like, 300 points a season with, like, you know, it was probably Vinny Damfus, I want to say, because I love Vinny Damfus. But anyway.
You're such a
heel. It's either that fucking shitty deke goal that the goalie never stops, or I vividly remember when you were coming down.
Okay.
You could hug the boards.
Okay.
And then right around the circle, just let her go. And
yeah,
the goalie
would go
wouldn't
to the,
stop.
Yeah, it would
and
go they, to the goalie wouldn't move.
It was the best.
Or when you'd come around the net and you just cut right across the middle.
Yeah. And tell you, dude, like, and because I mean, the people will still complain about the goalies today in these games.
Oh, that's my number one complaint.
Right. But, like, I'm sure it is incredibly difficult to design an AI controlled goalie that isn't too cheap, but isn't.
Well,
cheap enough.
But,
like,
the problem with today is, with the standard of systems that we have, this is, you've seen me go on rants with Rammer.
All the time, yeah.
Rammer on fucking Twitter. Sorry for cursing, but.
You can curse on this.
Fuck him. I've had conversations with that gentleman talking about the gameplay of the defense and the goaltending. And especially today, playing 94 and these classic sports games was about just having fun in the arcade, like, but you were still kind of seeing the realism.
Right.
We've gotten to the point where we're so advanced where I want the goalie to be good.
Right.
And almost every game I'm staring at either the D-man or the goalie and going, why the fuck are you in the corner?
Yeah, but, like, the problem is, if you make the, like, it's a fine balance between making the goalie too good. Because, like, do you remember the fucking NHL game a few years ago? And, like, if this kid died, if they were sick, I'm sorry. I don't know the story. But do you remember a few years ago, there was, like, a little kid that was a goalie in one of the games? It was, like, a Make-A-Wish thing. I don't remember if it was even a boy or a girl, but they were, like, a 98. Like, they were just a stupid goalie.
But again.
And, okay. And you couldn't score on them.
Okay, but here's the thing is, when you know that it's a number one complaint online of the online play where people are saying.
Here we go.
Are saying, the D's is shit.
He's punching the table.
The goaltending is shit. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the guy and he goes, well, we make it a little easier so everyone can score. Fuck you. I buy the game. Give me the option to change it. That's all. Remember when they had sliders in the game where you could turn it up and turn it down? Yes. How fucking hard is that? I agree with you. Sure, there's some cancer kid in the game who's a 98 and you couldn't score on him. Fuck. But fuck him. But I'd rather play with the cancer kid. So because I want to play hockey.
Right. But now, so now to pull it back to NHL, because I could go in that river. I get it. When you go back to NHL 94, that's another, like, there were cheap ways to score. It was easy to score. You could run the score up, but it was so much fun to do that that didn't matter.
See, like, you know? Yes, but to me, I actually have work ethic, and I worked the games. I didn't have 300 point seasons with Vinny Danfus. Like, well, I'm sitting across
from
you.
Then you're just a terrible GM.
I guess I am. But I will say this. There was times when I was down 4-1 and I knew I needed to win. That I'd sneak a couple.
Of course. Of course you do. It's so hard not to.
Yeah. Like when you're like fucking the computer would just fuck you over and you'd bury three in a row and go, okay, well, let's get back in this game and we'll go from there. I won't do it again. And then you do. So I agree with you. But I didn't have 300 point seasons. Well, that's
because you're a bad fucking general manager.
I'm real.
You sit on playing as the Oilers and like wah wah.
that's true.
As opposed to the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Shane Corson was on our roster.
Dude,
by the way, for Vinny Danfus, just a little hockey knowledge.
I love Vinny Danfus.
Shit.
Dude, this game's fucking rad. NHL 94 is dope. It looks awesome. It plays great. I haven't played NHL 94 in 20 years. I probably will never play it again.
No.
But it's fine. It's got a legacy. Dude, for a sports game, for a game that is released year after year after year after year, I bet you NHL, EA is probably, they have to have. EA is probably releasing an NHL game every year since NHLPA, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so to release that many games and have this one still be considered the cream of the crop and standing up there by so many people is an absolute feather in their cap. You know 100%. What I mean? Like that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Sega deserves a ton of credit and whoever designed it because they finally made a game better than a Nintendo game.
Oh, Lord.
That's me fishing for fucking remarks from Sega fans.
Well, here's the thing. That was every sports game that came out.
No, you're right. Fighting game, everything. Yeah. And yeah, Sega was just better for that stuff. It just was.
Which, again, like you said, it's probably in the systems that made it easier. But they were so bad.
Yeah. No.
Like the Super NES version of these games, the ice wasn't even the same blue.
Yeah.
As petty as that is,
there's something about
blue
ice.
Yeah. Like I remember plugging it in at a buddy's. He's like, oh, I got an NHL. I'm like, sick. And I pick up that crappy fucking shitty Super NES controller.
Oh, no. Hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. You shut your ball washer.
Hold on.
Super Nintendo controller.
I'll get arrogant because when the 6-button controller came out for the Genesis, it was better than that fucking Super
NES.
No,
I disagree with
that.
Fuck
you.
No, and smaller. I really do. And I'll give Sega credit where it's due. And I've actually turned around quite a bit on Sega over the last year for this podcast.
Okay.
But for my money, the Super Nintendo controller is the best non-analog controller ever made. Like, until you get into like the current ones.
That's true.
Like, my favorite controller of all time is actually probably the Xbox 360 controller.
Really?
It's perfect. It fits so perfect. It handles so good.
PlayStation's
got a great controller, too.
No, it's the best controller ever.
No.
They've kept the same controller the whole time.
Oh, I agree. It's fucking great. I just prefer a little bit more meat. You know, I don't want to... I like some meat on the bone.
Well,
you know?
See, that's fine.
Now we're getting into something entirely away from...
When it comes to NHL, like, I told you this. My number one memory was I had a Game Boy. I had over 20 games. I kept all the boxes, the instructions. I could probably sell all that shit today for a lot of money. But I took that 20 games, Game Boy, took it to Trade and Play, Millitztown Center. I know exactly where it was in that mall. Dropped it off. I picked up a 6-button controller, Street Fighter II Turbo, and a 4-way play. And the 4-way play with this game for NHL was game changing.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
Because when you got to play NHL 93, 94, going forward with four guys on one system.
Yeah.
It was the precursor to the N64 because you and I have discussed the N64 when it comes to wrestling games, everything like that.
Sure.
How much it changed everything. When you had four guys going on a Genesis playing NHL, I vividly remember being in a buddy's house. we were screaming. His mom, he had a sleepover. His mom came down multiple times and told us to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's those memories, though. That multiplayer, just sitting together, like, there's, I don't know, man. There's, it's cool to be able to play a game online, but there's just something about this, sitting beside a buddy on the couch playing a game that just is so much better.
Yeah, it is. It's because you can look over at a guy and you just fucking know when he's cheating.
Yeah.
Like you and I have never sat down to play games, but I know exactly what you would fucking do. I've worked with you before. You did it at work without video games, and you know how to do things.
It's the best.
But that's the best part of it, and that was the fun. It's more about memories, but to say that this game was ranked 47th all time.
Yeah.
In video games.
I know. It's fucking wild, man.
It's insane to think, because this isn't a next generation game. No. This is an original, like, it's insane.
Dude, I wasn't joking when I said, like, when you look at it, like, it really does look like the next gen version. Like when I think of, like, the Super Nintendo, like Super Mario World is the jacked up version of Super Mario Brothers 3, and Link to the Past is a super jacked up version of Zelda. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this looks like Ice Hockey or Blades of Steel just turned up to like a 12.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's fucking. It's just. I'm literally just looking at these images, and it just looks good. Like, it looks comfortable.
You
it
just
looks
remember
fun.
Everything. Yeah.
And it, like, dude, people today take video clips. You sent it to me, the one, I think it was you that sent it to me, of the Blues scoring on the Bruins in the Cup Finals, and they did it up in NHL 94 with the stars and the blue ice. It's iconic.
Which is insane. I don't know how anybody does that.
I love it.
But it looked so good. And again, I don't remember how to do one-timers. I think it was just pass, and it was just smash the other
button.
But when that got put in, it was a game changer.
Yeah.
Like, you can just remember those things where it's like, holy shit. It was the precursor game that really set up EA as the standard.
Yeah, and then they fucked it up.
Fuck them.
We need 2K back.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I'm spent, man. You good?
Yeah.
What do you give NHL 94 on a scale of 1 to 10?
Nostalgia, everything included? It's a 10.
Sure.
It's a 10. Right. It's just one of those games where you and I have discussed it. You're like, we've worked with people who talked about playing that game that were much older than us at that time.
It's one of those games everybody knows.
University, just buddies, alone. You did everything with this game. Like you said, I had books where I was writing down stats for these sports games. And then when that got put in, like you said, 94 to 96 is when you truly started. 96 was such a game changer for everything that they fucked up 95, which is still weird to me. But again, I guarantee if we played 95, 94, and then 95, it wouldn't be that bad. It's just that the standard was set so
they
well with 94.
Yeah,
I'd give it a 10.
All right. You know what? I'll go with an 8.5.
8.5? You just said it was amazing.
It is amazing, but this fucking bar.
See, this is
dude,
who you are.
No. Once you listen, you clearly don't listen to every episode.
You're right.
Once you get over a 9,
there's so many games.
It is fucking. You have to basically suck my dick to get it fucking higher than a 9.5.
I'll call Rammer and I'll get him to fly out. Here. He'll need that.
But it's good. It's a good
game.
He'll
need that for NHL 20. I'll fucking tell you that.
It's a good game. It's well deserving of its spot in history. That cover is iconic. Like, literally just the bold NHL 94 rating.
Yeah.
Like, I think of that. You know what I mean? Like, everything.
It just that the case. The plastic case, the classic. See, and that was another thing about Genesis.
Dude.
The boxes were better.
Credit given to Genesis for that.
The boxes were better.
The cases were way better.
They held up over time. Yeah. I believe a good friend of mine actually has all of his NHL games with instructions still.
Nice.
For all the Genesis versions.
I think when I think of a Sega Genesis cart, I think of like that black cart with that little yellow fucking box in the edge. Like that little yellow block that was like the battery or something that went in it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I always, and you know what, as a kid, I remember grabbing at it and trying to yank
it
out.
Not knowing what it was.
I don't know.
As a Super Nintendo kid, I was always envious of those cases. Because I remember going to my dentist always had it. He had a Sega Genesis in his office that you could play while you're waiting.
Oh.
And I would either play like Aladdin or Lion King. Uh-huh. Or I would play NHL, and I would always take it down in those nice boxes and just be like, dude, that's such a nice time. But you know what it is? That really what most of those Sega Genesis boxes are is it's just like a really nice garbage bag. Like, it's fucking, it's a nice case, but inside it's just trash.
Well, see, there you are. See, you're such a heel.
Because Sega
have that
sucks.
Way, Yeah, well, in the end, they did. They did. They didn't survive.
They lost. Yeah, I guess a good hockey game wasn't enough to do it. Brad, thanks for doing this.
Well, listen, thanks for having me on. I was going to tell you, yes, I do listen to your podcast. Some of these games, I have no idea what the fuck
I get it
is. Here's the thing is, man, you're doing an amazing job. I'm proud of you. There's a lot of people that know you. I just wanted to say that. You're doing a great job with this, man, and I wish you nothing but the best in the future with this podcast, and it's going to grow and get better.
Thank you very much, man. Or it'll be folded before this episode goes live, but probably, hopefully the first one.
That's fair.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. I appreciate that.
No problem.
And you guys, thanks for listening. Now I'm going to play the Brass Bonanza and then do the outro and plug all my stuff.
Great team.
Yeah. All right. I had to play that Brass Bonanza song. It's so good. It's so good. And honestly, the digital version is fun, but the real version is even better. Just go online. You can find it. Just YouTube, Hartford Whalers Brass Bonanza. It's fucking incredible. I love it. Brad, long time coming, buddy. Thank you so much for coming over, talking video games with me. And all of you guys, as always, thank you so much for supporting the show. If you're on the social media, throw us a follow at MemberTheGame on Twitter and Instagram. We'll follow you back. Facebook.com/rememberthegame and YouTube.com/rememberthegame. I try to subscribe back to everybody. I love interacting with people. Don't forget to check out our Patreon, you guys. The draw for our Sega Genesis Classic will be happening in August. You've got till July 31st to sign up. It's $2 a month, and you get a ton of extra shit when you sign up as well. You'll see it all over there, Patreon.com/rememberthegame. Please leave us a good review if you enjoyed the show. And with all those plugs and all that begging for your attention and money out of the way, I'm going to shut up, end this week's episode. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll be back again in 7 days with episode 55. Yes, 50. I was like, which one are we on? Yeah, episode 55 of the show. And I already hinted at it in the intro, but next week, Ultimate Alliance 3 comes out on the Nintendo Switch. So we may or may be talking about Ultimate Alliance video games next week. But that's then. This was now. Enjoy your week, everybody. Go play some video games, and I'll talk to you again in 7 days. Thank you so much. Cheers.